on Tuesday. So as Rick had shared, it's a communion time, and we're going to be looking at this morning. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Psalms 126. We'll be there eventually. But my notes almost paralleled Rick's notes for the beginning there. I even start off with 247 years ago is exactly how, if you look, 247 years ago this Tuesday, our Continental Congress got together several weeks prior. Thomas Jefferson working hard, sketching out the Declaration of Independence. Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, James Madison, and some others try to take out some harsh language against the people of Great Britain while still shooting pointed arrows at the king of Great Britain. And I think that's something for us to consider as well. But anyway, that's another thing. So they were getting together to discuss how they could serve God more according to scriptures rather than having a localized national religion that told you what to think and what you needed to believe. They wanted to follow what the Bible said. And as we seen in our little video, that the Lord has given us free will, but also with that then becomes responsibilities. Not just opportunities, but responsibilities that we need to have. And really, in this case, it's to be able to serve the Almighty God, as we are indicated and directed in Scriptures. And so our passage for this morning is Psalms 126, verses 1 through 3. The whole chapter, it's only six verses long, but we're just going to be looking at the first three verses as we get going on this. And what it is a time... David is actually prophesying about a future event. So here he is, newly anointed king of Israel, and yet he is letting them know that in their not too distant future, they are actually going to be taken captive. The kingdom will be split. They'll be taken captive. Some will be taken away to Babylon, and he's making this prophecy, even corresponding with that of the words of Jeremiah in the 70 weeks or the 70 years as they would be in that captivity. And he is telling about an event that it's hard for them to fathom because, you know, they're free. They're the thought of being under a tyrannical dictator doesn't even cross their mind. And so maybe these are some same common things that we ought to consider as well. But just remember, a tyrannical dictator doesn't have to be a person. It can be ideals or lack of ideals. It can be government. It can be, I believe, ultimately the one that tries to get at us all, the great Satan himself. And so as we look at this and we get ready to read in this passage, what he is doing is he's telling them there's going to be a time you're going to be set free and you're going to get to go back home. And it's going to be a time of celebration. And that's what we want to read here this morning. Psalms 126, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. And they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us.' And boy, aren't we glad." And so that's what I want to focus on a little bit as we tie in our celebration of this great national holiday that we have, but also tying that into a thought that you could go back to the time in which you were set free. Not from tyranny of any man, but from the tyranny of sin and death. And so as we look at this, David gives this indication. He's prophesying about a king that'll come in, Cyrus, will come in, and actually through that Babylonian Medo-Persian government, we see that Cyrus is the one that says, you guys are going to get to go home. You are going to be free. You're going to have the opportunity to go back and live your life the way that you had prior to being taken captive. As we all know, this would have happened during the days of Daniel, Ezekiel, and different things of that nature. And so as we look at these men, they were understanding and they were sharing that having been free once, taken captive, the thought, the idea of being set free again to be able to go home was just almost beyond their imagination. And we see that in that passage of Scripture that, boy, God has done such great things for us. Well, you know, maybe if they would have kept that thought in their mind 70 years prior to that, they wouldn't have ended up in the situation they were in. And many years before that, we see that even when Solomon was king, the Lord told him that your kingdom is going to become divided. And hopefully, if I can remember, we'll share a little bit about that thought at the end. But as we see this and this whole idea, the thing I want to share for us to consider here is freedom from the bondage of slavery. And we may look at this even as a nation, and I think we are so much like the Jews at time that we might even be bold enough to say, slaves? We have been slaves to no man. Right? As we've looked at that before with the Israelites, apparently forgetting, as we're told, those that forget history are doomed to repeat it. They must have forgot about their time in Egypt. They must have forgot about their time in Babylon. They must have forgot about their time with the Medo-Persians and so on. And so the Jews of Jesus' day say, we have not even been under slavery, as they pay homage and taxes to Caesar. So they're trying to understand this whole idea of being free from slavery. And David in this psalm shares this text. And have you ever heard the phrase that it sounds so good? You know, that I don't know that I believe it, right? And this is kind of what they did. They doubted. They doubted the truth. They were prophesied by their great king David, and yet they had a hard time believing what was going to be said. Why is it? Because they weren't in that current situation yet. It was just a dream to them. It was just an illusion to them, especially since they weren't in captivity at the time that David is talking about this. Continental Congress, with the 13 original colonies, had severed ties with Great Britain. They were seeking their independence, right? We all that have raised children understand that concept. right, of the children wanting to seek their independence. They want to be on their own. We're going to go out and we're going to teach this world a thing or two, right? And then a couple kicks to the teeth and to the side, and they start to reevaluate some things. But our nation was much that same way, seeking its independence. We wanted our freedom. We wanted to make our own decisions, right or wrong. We wanted to make our own decisions. And then this is the section I was telling Dylan in Sunday school that Josh was, I said, man, with Rick and his community meditation, and then Josh mentioned in his class, covering a lot of my points. But maybe that's because it's something we really need to pay attention to. Freedom from the bondage of slavery. So imagine living in paradise. Imagine living in a place where everything you needed was provided. And yet, the truth be known, we can get through the semantics of all of it. As much as Adam and Eve appreciated their time with God, ultimately, what led them astray was they wanted their freedom from God. Now, it doesn't appear that way. Scripture, Peter will say the woman was beguiled and that Adam just followed along with her. But see, what happens is when we start to think that all these good things, all the blessings that we have are owed to us, right? Aren't we so glad that we don't live in a time where we feel that we are, that we're indebted to this, that this is our privilege, right? And so as we look at that, they began to think that these good things, the garden, everything that they had, well, maybe it could be better. And that's when they really, having freedom in the Lord, confused their own mind, and we're going to find out that actually life outside of the Lord is to be in bondage and captivity. And so as we look at this and we see this and we see that even our nation seeking its independence, we say, well, they were doing that to try to get themselves closer to the Lord. Adam and Eve was trying to do that because they wanted to be gods. Don't let anybody tell you that humanism is new. It started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve wanting to be like God. That's when they found out that freedom brings about opportunities. We said responsibilities. But unfortunately, if we don't make the right choices, then freedom becomes a captor, becomes a slavery. Adam and Eve, in seeking freedom, found themselves bound in slavery. Lost their home. They already had to work, but now it had to be for a punishment to be able to take out and provide for themselves. This is where we get to the point that I want us to consider that freedom from the bondage of slavery isn't just a physical shackle, chains, and not being able to do what you want. Sometimes bondage of slavery is having the choice to do exactly what you want and making the wrong choices. And this is where we are reminded then that Jesus being the truth and the truth has set us free. That we don't have to be no longer tied to the freedom or to the bondage of slavery. And so as we look at that and see that slavery, so what is our bondage? We then, as we move through this, the correlation I want to make from Psalms 126 to the New Testament then is they were saying things and hearing things that seemed too good to be true. Matter of fact, we'd say, they'd be crazy, right? That's just silly talk. But yet there was a day that was being uttered just the same. Luke chapter 24. When I came a few weeks ago and Brother Doug was in the hospital, we had an opportunity to take him the Lord's Supper and we shared with him the Road to Emmaus story. And we find that in Luke chapter 24, and these passages popped out to me since then to go along with this, is, but these words appeared to them as nonsense. Here, on the road to Emmaus, they are being shared the gospel story. What had happened? Jesus. All of the things that could set them free, and it appeared to them as nonsense. This is crazy talk. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even believe it. This is so great, it can't be true. Verse 41 says, they still could not believe because of their joy and amazement. But it wasn't until they sat down with him and ate that it says their eyes were opened. And all of these things that were silly talk, all of these things that they couldn't believe, all these things that made them doubt the truth, came very clear when we bring Jesus into our presence. And that's where we want to look more than just a nation, but look into our own spiritual life then. Is that not only do we, as we've looked, seek freedom from the bond of slavery, but we're here this morning because we seek freedom from the bondage of sin. And that only comes to us through one great emancipator, Jesus Christ. And so as we continue this thought about these great things that have been done for us, you know, we have so many things to be thankful for in this country. But as was mentioned, sometimes we take for granted our Christianity. We may have a flag in the corner of the building, out in front of the building. Bruce has got one on his shirt. I've got one on around my neck. But don't ever get to the point where you think that is more important and more of a blessing to be an American than it is to be a Christian. For our freedom in this country may be gone tomorrow, but our freedom in Christ will last for an eternity. And that's because we can get the freedom from the bondage of sin. To continue on with that Luke chapter 24 series that we're reading, verses 44 through 48, it says, "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." I really believe that each and every individual on this planet that has the capability and capacity for understanding God's word, that at the proper time, he will make their minds open up so that they have the opportunity to choose clearly whether to obey or to reject his word. Verse 46, "And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day,'" sharing with them the gospel message. Verse 47, "and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." They were there at the beginning. He says, "Now I'm sharing with you with this. We are now at the end of the Mosaic Age, and we're getting ready to start the Christian dispensation, and you have all been witnesses to this." And they couldn't believe it. Man, that's great. But wait, I mean, even the disciples didn't get it, remember? At what time will you be restoring the kingdom back to Israel? They were looking at an earthly nation. I'm here again to say it's not about an earthly nation. It's not about America. It's not about Israel. It's about the kingdom, the church. Because of what Jesus Christ did, and he shared with us, he died for us. He's taken on the captor of sin and death and has set us free. He has given us the opportunity to enter into the real promised land. Quote words from a song and part of scripture in Deuteronomy, I think it's 30 or 31. Moses looks out and gets to see the promised land standing there on the mountain. He's looking out from Pisgah's lofty heights. "I view my home and I take my flight." But even Moses knew that it wasn't about a piece of ground over there in the Middle East. It was about owning, having ownership, serving a king on probably the hardest territory on this planet. And it's that little space between your ears, right here in your mind. That's where God wants to rule. That's where Jesus Christ wants to reign. And so as we look at that and we're reminded of that, it's not because of tyranny. It's not because of rules and regulations and wanting to be free. It's not just sin and death. It should be because we want to serve King Jesus. Getting rid of all those other things are just bonuses. Because Jesus, in his holiness, cannot allow those wicked things to infiltrate his kingdom, the church. As I said, I wanted to share, if I could remember, because it's not on the screen, but it was a passage that looked at during the course of the week. And so we remember the part of our video when they showed the flag and then it said, "One nation under God." There's a passage in Ezekiel 37:22 where he makes the statement, and he's talking about a very physical thing. I don't believe this is a messianic prophecy. I don't believe this has anything to do. I think he's just talking about Israel. But I did find that it was interesting here that he says, once you as a nation, this is the Dave Atchley paraphrase, this that once you as a nation decide not to be split, and I said this several months ago when I was preaching on Isaiah chapter 5, so many times in our country we'll say, you know, well, are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? I'm just letting you know, when I go to the booth, I do not vote as a Democrat or a Republican. It is my responsibility to vote as a Christian. And so when we look at that and we see this, he talks about a divided kingdom. What he's talking about is the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes. And he's saying that one day they're going to be reunited. It's no longer going to be Israel and Judah. It's going to be Israel once again. And he's telling them, and he says, but what you have to do, and this is what we have to do, and we need to do it individually, and we need to do it collectively as a nation, we need to get back to being one nation under God. He says that your two nations will be united. You will no longer have two kings. I like to think in our country we don't have one king. We don't have kings, right? We have a president. We've got all kinds of kings in this country. And this reminder from Ezekiel is to get rid of all those kings. Get rid of all the nations. Bring them back into one. And as we said, that's the church. But make the one true God your God, so that you'll be one nation under God. We cannot live our lives individually for ourselves and then pray for our nation to be under God's control. If it's going to start anywhere, church, it's got to start with our example, with our leadership, and to bring us back into the idea that we serve a creator whose name is God. We have been set free. Because of a message of proclamation. During the time of Philip of Macedon, as he was being deposed as ruler, the Roman government was taking over, and they had decided to set all the Greeks free. They didn't have telephone, telegraph, television, telewoman. They didn't have any of those things. Mrs. Ross laughed at that one. So it had to go by word of mouth. They had criers. The Olympic Games were going on, or the similar to that such. And so they sent criers to each city to announce the freedom of all the Greeks. There was no message so important to those that were living in captivity than to hear, "You have been set free." I'm here to share with you this morning the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That if you're willing to believe in Him, that He is the Son of God, that if you're willing to repent of your sin, you're willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that you're willing to be immersed, to be set free from those shackles of sin, and arise to walk in a new life and do your best to live faithfully for Him, then you too shall have the weight of the shackles fall off of you. You may not hear the chains physically hit the ground, but you will feel the weight being lifted from your mind and your heart, knowing that you have been obedient to the true King that does not desire to rule over us tyrannically. As a matter of fact, He gives us the freedom to make the choice. Do we want to live in His promised land? This is open for you. This is open for all. This is a message that we need to share. Imagine if the crier went into the towns and said, the Greeks are set free, but then nobody went and told anybody else. See, we've got a message far greater than just freeing one group of people. We've got a message that can set the world free. And that's the true independence from sin and from the devil that needs to be preached. If you're here today and outside of Jesus Christ, there is no better time than right now to begin that walk with Him. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?